Today I'm answering a question about growth of being. And as you see from the question, we have someone who has been working with some of these ideas on practical inner work leading to real transformation, and yet honestly admits that in spite of having these ideas available, they cannot see changes, they see no growth. And then ask the question, does self-remembering, does self-observation, however you understand it now, lead to growth of being? So in order to respond and offer all of you something that each person can take away from this teaching, I want to reflect on what it means to have growth of being. These are technical terms, particular vocabulary with familiar words that mean something specific in these teachings. So one has to be able to transition out of what we think these words mean and how they're used typically to how they are used specifically in the context of inner work. So let's redefine once again what that word being means for this specific methodology. Being is the quality of your character. And by that I mean the maturing within that some of us, some of you, all know from just enduring life and suffering and dealing with it, hopefully in the right way, quite often in the wrong way. It is what makes us able to come out of ourselves, of the wrong work within, of the self-absorption, of the need for having our requirements met, for having others do what we want, for living in a state of fear all the time, what do people think of us, all that sort of thing. Growth in being, growth in character, growth in centeredness is entrance into self-mastery, self-control, inner freedom, creating that inner sanctuary within, that connection with the deeper self. It is maturing in spirit, maturing in understanding, in wisdom. And the fact that this happens in part by the process of living, if handled correctly, simply proves the universal truth within these ideas. In fact, making those connections is one of the ways to verify for yourself that this is indeed truth. This is what is found in mystical Christianity, what is found in the best of Buddhism and all of that, Sufism. When you reach the apex, the mystical apex of all these teachings, you find very similar concepts. So, let me repeat the formula so that the rational mind can have its way of receiving this. It's a formula you've heard before. Knowledge, that is gnosis, this teaching, information, how to apply it, plus being, that is plus application to your life, causing new perspectives, new choices, new ways of dealing with the hardships of life and with one's own inner turmoil, equals understanding. Another word could be wisdom. Another word could be higher consciousness. Another word could be deeper connection with spirit, with the presence of God. Knowledge plus being equals understanding. So, this process of real change in oneself is the aim, is the outcome of applying these ideas. And our friend says, again with honesty, which is the only way to deal with any of this, that having studied these ideas, there seems to be no change. So let's be very focused on what we are trying to do. These seemingly simple ideas of inner separation, of self-awareness, of standing back from our habits and stimulus response behavior to life, the same old way of functioning, is extremely powerful. That's why we call them esoteric ideas. They are potent inner ways to actually generate change, but they must be authentically applied. That's why we have to go through, with humility, the baby steps again and again, and have the patience to do that. Things can happen quickly, but we have to do it right. When you separate from an inner emotion in reaction to something, or your old familiar negative emotion of self-pity, of anger, of irritation, of boredom, all of those toxic things that kill our potential, that block out spirit. We separate from that. We've created a new space, a new quality of consciousness. You'll have to forgive the noise in the background now. An opportunity to not yet let your attention diverge, which is part of the tools we bring here to life. How to not let all of the stimulus around us take us away from that intentional focus of attention. We are always distracted, always wandering off internally, mentally. So take this existential opportunity now to be focused so that you may receive and understand this clearly. Applying what appears simple is nuclear power. When you separate from what has you've always been caught up in inside, you create a space where you are not that feeling that you've always had when somebody does a certain thing, or when certain events happen, or just when depression comes, or whatever accidental association or feeling emerges. Because you see self-mastery, self-control, centeredness saves us from the chaos, the accident of life, where your mood can shift at any second, instead of the consistency and stability that gives contentment and peace and bliss. In spite of, that's a big in spite of, but that is the essence of the pearl of great price, of mystical awareness, of encounter with the presence of God. So when you finally, actually, organically experience inner separation, self-observation, which creates that space. You are not that. You are not that thought. You're not that feeling. Then you can see it differently. You can see, for instance, it is feeling this way, how familiar, instead of taking it for granted. That is the beginning of the potential for real change. And as I've shared with you many times, changing the inside is so all-encompassing, so immense, that it will change ultimately your outer circumstances. Cosmic teaching from the ages, universal, perennial. In that distancing out, that pulling out of what you've always thought to be yourself, permanently imprisoned by it, you can then see it differently. You can see that there are different options. You can see that other people don't respond that way. This is the characteristic of your way of functioning, which is on automatic. And you can see all the patterns of a lifetime, from age 7 on or something, that clearly reveals the automatics, nature, the mechanics of our function. This is why I've given you the insights of center of gravity and body types, which we'll continue to study in depth, because those are just additional tools to help you find that separation from yourself, which is hypnotism, a hypnotized state, a state of waking sleep, where imagination and accidental takeover of yourself by a particular I in the moment, which is most likely not the one that is interested in God and spirituality, can be overcome. In that inner separation, divided attention, where you're not just pulled out of yourself by what is going on, you are now in a deeper place within, a higher place from which you can recognize that what is happening is not to be simply lived, but to actually be overcome, that you can make another choice with the help of this knowledge, of all great spiritual knowledge. So the breakthrough moment is when it actually works for you, if applied. It is intimate, personal, must be verified for yourself, cannot remain in the intellect, cannot just be part of your yearning, although getting to the emotional love of this work, of these ideas that can have such an impact on your life, is critical. You cannot keep it in the head as data, as encyclopedic knowledge. It has to become a part of it. So the level of being that we are meant to evolve into through our free will, our knowledge, our aim, our one decision to do this, generates a change. And however simple that change is, it is the beginning of a new life. So, to you who have asked this question, to all of you, I say, have the humility to do this simple thing of, in the moment, not tomorrow, but now, pull yourself out with your attention, with your willpower, with your this knowledge, and see that, sure enough, you are responding as you always respond. But now you're looking at it from a place that has been informed that this is not the way it needs to be, that there can be another way to respond, that others have awakened, have matured spiritually to respond differently. You can keep your peace even when no one else around you would, under these circumstances. That is growth of being. You can choose not to be offended. You can choose to forgive. You can ultimately choose to love your enemy. Clearly that is highly advanced, but you can see what it's going to take to get there. We cannot do it from where we are now at our level of being. A low level of being is completely selfish. Anything goes, flailing about with whatever negativity or illusion or imagination is passing through, and that's the whole of life. All of you who are taking the time to listen because you are searching for something, know that you do not want to go to your grave in that condition, because then nothing will have been accomplished that is meant to be accomplished in this life. The purpose of this life is to evolve, to awaken spiritually. And grace from the holy is a critical component, but we have a job to do. We are not just meant to wait around to see if it's going to happen. And we have to value these ideas enough that we will apply them at the grocery store, in traffic, at home, wherever. Pull yourself out of it. Most of the time, all you will see is hopelessly, in the sense of, you know, there it goes again, I can't do anything about it, but you will see it from a new angle for the first time. And then you'll see it again and again, and you'll begin to not want to be doing that, because you'll see that that behavior is the enemy, is the problem. And as I have said recently to the classes I'm holding here in Indianapolis, and as you've heard in other teachings, one of our key issues that blocks our path is justification. We always justify our actions. We always blame others for them. And so we make it okay to stay in our wrong work, in our mechanics, in our sleep. So I'm calling upon you to make an effort once of trying to place yourself out of, detach yourself from your behavior, face it honestly, recognize that this is not right in the eyes of the work, of the spiritual teachings, of the holy, of your own self. It's a betrayal of self to stay at that low level where most everybody lives and dies. And when you are in a place where through intentional effort, informed effort, you are able to say, I'm not doing it this time. I'm not going to get impatient or upset if somebody's tailgating me. I'm not going to have the last word. I'm not going to live only in my likes and dislikes, my first impressions of others, all that waiting, heavy, dark stuff that weighs us down, keeps us buried alive. I'm going to choose to try this. So you are struggling against the current that is your automatic behavior, your long-standing way of functioning, which we all take for granted, and which is called sleep. And for further motivation, understand that this puts us under what is called the law of accident. When we are not at the wheel of our consciousness, of our conscious control of ourselves, then anything might happen today to you. And if you don't want to live like that, if you want to be under what is called in these teachings the law of fate, of destiny, you need to get to that first plateau of being able to not always be that. And these tools, seemingly simple, will take you there. If you go beyond the intellectual knowledge into the application, which then reveals to you your opportunity, okay, in this moment of difficulty, I'm going to choose to be at peace, not to respond as I always have. Very hard thing to do, because the hardest struggle is against one's own habits, and that within us, our personality, our illusions of ourselves, the ego, if you want, to put it all in a big package, will fight us for it. Something within us will know that it is threatened, that its power is being potentially removed, and it will fight back. So you have to be ready for spiritual warfare. And that little part of you that wants that change, wants that purification, wants that renewal, must have the courage to confront that other part of ourselves that wants to stay the same as it's always been, so that it can live in its comfort zone and rule without question, dictate to us how we're going to be and function to the end of our days. That is going to have to be reduced eventually removed, so that the part of you that is yearning for spiritual communion, awakening, renewal is in charge. And now at this stage, it is a little tiny part that is like a baby bird, almost helpless in the face of what has been in charge of you. So growth of being comes from application of these teachings, where you personally taste for yourselves what can happen. And I assure you that that first time that you actually have an experience of being able to keep your peace because you have detached yourself from your normal reactions and saved the day, stop the momentum that would have always taken place otherwise, you will want more of that. It will feel so good and so right. So that is, in all humility and simplicity, what we must do to begin to actually experience a shift in being, a maturing of self, an expansion of self, which leads to more and more change, because the more we discover what's possible, the more we hunger for it, and the more we receive help from Spirit, because we have cleared the ground in one area, and the more we clear it, the more Spirit comes through. Don't hesitate to ask more questions, to send more specifics of your life. And that is how you will find your way up that mountain to a clear and beautiful spot where you truly belong, our birthright to be these awakened people filled with light, filled with joy, connected with the source of our being.